Translation brought by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport. The words, Ko vichashte gatimatmano yatha, indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. Jnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalake chakshurunnilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha namam vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale srimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namini namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharini nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshtarini vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya ivacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before I speak a bit about the verse and purport, I'd just like to give a brief description. This is past time covering a few chapters, so just to give a little brief description. In the material world, there is always this conflict between the godly, the devas, or the godly persons and the asuras, the demons. This has been going on since time immemorial. Of course, someone could argue that today only demons and demons fighting. But that may be because there's a lack of godly people. But of course, whatever godly persons exist, there's always a fight also. We have to fight to reclaim something for the Lord, in the Lord's service. As the devotees at Bhaktivedanta Manor well know, that you have to fight for the Lord's property, for His service. Yes. So, in one of these battles between the demons and the devas, the leader of the demons, Bali Maharaj, he was killed. But the guru of the demons, Shukracharya, by his Sanjivani mantra, by his power, he brought Bali Maharaj back to life, and Bali Maharaj was grateful, like anyone would be if you get a lease on life. So Bali Maharaj, very, nicely, he pleased his guru and the descendants, the brahmanas, descendants of Bhrigu. He pleased them, and they were satisfied with his service, and they said, "We know just what you want. Demons, they always want to conquer the devas. So we'll help you out. We'll do a puja for you. And you'll get your purpose fulfilled. So they perform this Vishvajit Jagya. And Bali Maharaj was blessed from this Jagya. Many different things came. And Bali Maharaj took a very powerful army and went up to the region of Indra. And when Indra saw this powerful army coming, he was scared. He went to their guru Brihaspati and explained, what is the situation, what should we do? And Brihaspati said, run for your life. They're too powerful at this time, being invested with Brahma Tejas, they're blessed by Brahmanas, and you won't be able to fight with them at this point, so better you devas, you just hide, you just... So the demigods just had to give up. So Bali Maharaj, he just claimed everything without a fight. He just took control of the universe. So the mother of the devas, Aditi, she was very much distressed that she couldn't see her sons, the devas, and she was very much distressed. So Kashyapa Muni, after chanting a lot of rounds for some thousands of years, his meditation, he returned to the ashram and he saw that things were, something was wrong, some neglect was there. When he spoke to his wife, then she said, you know, she's distressed because of her sons. They've lost everything. So he preached a bit, you know, well, you know, everything is temporary anyway, and you know, but she wasn't pacified. So then he said, well, only the Lord can help. You'll have to approach the Lord. He's the only one who can help with anything, everything. So she asked for some guidelines, and he gave her this Payovrata Jagya. It's like today people talk about prosperity gospel, right? Do this and you will become rich and all of that. Well, this is a good one that he said, I got this from Brahma and it works. Try worshiping the Lord. And, you know, she followed the process and the Lord appeared and said that, yes, how can I help you? And she said that, if you can help my sons to regain their kingdom. And the Lord said, fine. Yes, I'll help. They're my devotees. So soon I'll take birth as your son and I'll help them to regain their kingdom. So the Lord appeared as Vamanadev, and then he proceeded to that place where more jagya was being performed, because they told Bali Maharaj, that's not good enough, you'll have to do more puja. So they were doing more jagya, and then Vamanadev, he proceeded there. And Bali Maharaj, he was very pleased, he was gratified, he glorified Vamanadev, welcomed him, and then glorified Vamanadev. Vamanadev glorified Bali Maharaj also in his dynasty. In your dynasty, there's never been a low-minded king born who ever promised something and never delivered. So, Bali Maharaj said, yes, very exalted words you have spoken. Ask from me. Seems as though you've come to beg for something. Ask whatever you need from me. So Vamanadev said, with my step, I just need 3 paces of land. And Bali Maharaj laughed. He said, that's all you want? That's like you go to Bill Gates and he asks, what you want? Ask anything from me. And you say, can I get some candy? I'll be like, ridiculous. You know. So Bali Maharaj said, you were speaking like a learned person, but now you know, your intellect is not very mature. You don't know what is really good for you. And Vamanadev spoke some very nice philosophy. He said that if a person just accepts what he needs, he'll not be affected by sin. But if a person accepts more than he needs, he'll become affected by sin. And even if a person possesses all the facility for sense gratification, that's for a person who is on control, who is full of desire, even if he possesses everything in the universe, his problem will remain. That's his unfulfilled desire. And we know that's what Krishna says in the Gita. The dushparina nalinacha, the senses are never satisfied, burns like fire. So anyway, Vamana Dev, Bali Maharaj said, okay, you can take. But then his guru came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, come, I have something important to say. Don't promise anything to him, don't give him anything, otherwise he's Vishnu and he'll take away everything. Bali Maharaj, he couldn't deal with what his guru was telling him. He said, anyway, I already promised him and I can't do that. Let him take whatever. So Shukracharya, he was upset and he cursed him, well, you'll lose everything. So Vamanadev, he paced and he took. He expanded himself. He took everything in two steps and he said that you haven't fulfilled your promise. You promised three, I only got two. So you deserve to go to hell. So he was bound up, he was arrested, and everything was taken away from him. So it is now in this situation that Prahlad Maharaj, he's there on the scene. Although Prahlad spoke a lot in seventh canto about this problem, material opulence and all of that, Prahlad is on the scene, he's grandfather. And this is Prahlad's words. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But then Prahlad, he has an angle to it. He said, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. We can look a little bit about Prahlad's instruction to reinforce this point, because this pursuit of material opulence, attachment, attraction for material opulence, this, Srila Prabhupada said, the material world is created for two purposes. One, to give the rebellious souls the opportunity to lord it over, to try to be God away from God. And two, to rectify, to reform the souls, those rebellious souls. So Prahlad's point earlier on in the seventh canto, he's saying, Kumaram acharit pragya, person who is pragya, sufficiently intelligent, he should pursue Bhagavad Dharma from Kumara, 4 or 5 years when education begins. From that point, he should seriously take up Bhagavad Dharma, because Durlabham Manusham Janma, the human birth, is very rare. 8 million, so many species the soul has to pass through. And then even when you come to human form, not all human forms are civilized. Most of them are uncivilized. So to get a civilized human form, that's not easy, going through millions and millions of species. So Prahlad, he's saying that prayasa na kartavya, this over endeavoring for this sense gratification, this material opulence, that's not worth it. It's a waste of time. Why you don't have to endeavor for it? Sukhamaindriyakam daitya deha yogina dehinam sarvatralabhyate daiva dukkam aptum ayatnata. Prabhupada said, just as your suffering comes without you looking for it, you don't go endeavoring for headache and stroke and loss in business. Nobody goes endeavoring for problems and suffering, losses. It comes automatically. So Prabhupada says, just as your suffering comes without you endeavoring for it, what you're entitled to, remember, everyone by their karma, they have some facility. We have a body and we have facilities according to what we deserve, that we'll get. Someone may say, well, that sounds good, Prabhu, so I should just sit around and wait and everything will come my way. No, Krishna says, what he says? Karmanyevadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the result. And never be attached to not doing your duty. This is Krishna's guidelines for work. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty. So Prahlad's point is that these things will come. You don't have to. Prahlad also said, one is happy as long as he makes no endeavor for happiness. As long as he endeavors, then his distress begins. Then the suffering will come about. If whatever comes by providence, a person learns to utilize. Tasyeva hetu prayate ta kovida. Person is intelligent. He should only endeavor for that permanent destination. That's Lord Rishabhadev's instruction also. Nayam deho deha bhajam riloki kashtan kaman arhati vidbujamye. Speaking to his sons, he said, my dear boys, of all the souls that have taken material bodies in this world, the ones that have a human form, they should not labor hard day and night, just like the vidbujas, the stool eaters. All these creatures, that's what they're running about for, something to eat, some sex. We shouldn't, human beings, that's below the dignity of a human being to just go running about for the same thing the dogs and hogs are endeavoring for. So what should we do? Tapo divyam. We should be bold and brave to perform divine austerity. Everybody's taking austerity. We know that in the material world, they say no pain, no gain. So people know you want to get some success. Well, you have to punch the clock. You have to make some sacrifice. But Lord Rishabhadev is saying, if you want to get Brahma Sukha, if you want to get spiritual happiness that is anantam, unending, you should take some divine austerity. That's real wealth. Prabhupada said, before the body is embarrassed by dwindling, use it. Perform that divine austerity. So Lord Rishabhadev's point is that it is so important. But in Kali Yuga, due to lack of proper system, proper culture, the endeavor for sense gratification, this has taken over. And Prahlad says, Nate vidu swaratakatim hi vishnum durashaya ye bahir arthamanina. He says that to endeavor for bahir artha, this economic development, anybody who don't know that the swartha gatim, that the ultimate, the goal of our life is to attain Vishnu. Anybody who doesn't know that, what would they do? They'll just go For Bahir Artha, this external, is economic development for sense gratification. So they describe us andha, as blind. So the leaders of this society today, because they do not know this goal, because the goal is not established, they're blind, and the whole general mass of people, well, they don't know, they want sense gratification, and the leaders are promising, yes, here we'll give you this, we'll give you that. I just came in from India. I spent some time in Mumbai, of course, in better situation, a Chowpatty, right? But it's like such a disgusting and disturbing thing to be driving through Mumbai and see billboards and what they're advertising. Can you imagine the devotees who go to make presentations at colleges and universities? They have to make presentations. Does God exist? That's theme and topic. In my country where I live, I don't have to do that. You will preach to fanatical Christians, fanatical Hindus, people. Does God exist? Why don't we have to do that? In India, the consciousness of the people, thinking about apartment and a car and this and that, their life is like fantasy, is like illusion, is like they're living Bollywood movies. The way they advertise sense gratification and material thing. I don't see that like that in London. So my point is this. When you have Bhagavad Dharma, when you have this knowledge and you give it up, and you think that, yes, the rest of the world is successful, we need to just follow them, this is most unfortunate. You know, Srila Prabhupada, he said, if a person comes to Krishna consciousness, he's fortunate. If he doesn't come, he's unfortunate. But if he comes and doesn't take advantage of it, he's most unfortunate. If you're a poor man and you don't have anything, well, you're poor. But if you become a millionaire and you have everything, and due to some foolishness you're just gambling, you lose everything, then you're a fool, you're most unfortunate. So to have higher knowledge and to just be running after some temporary things in the name of economic development. Even Jesus Christ said, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world but suffers the loss of his eternal soul? So that's so unfortunate. So, as devotees, we need at least to be convinced more and more that we shouldn't waste our time. Of course, we have to be preaching to convince people more and more that they should spend their life, their time, pursuing Krishna consciousness rather than sense gratification. So Srila Prabhupada makes this point here, that if people continue the way they're going, said modern men have forgotten, altogether forgotten those questions, they're mad after material possession. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. You doubt that time will come? It comes in two ways. Guaranteed. There could be some disaster or there can be recession and you would lose. But absolutely sure, your own apocalypse, meaning you have your own doomsday. Death will come and take away everything. So whether someone believe you or not, that things will collapse, you will lose everything. Well, everything could stand there, but you will be taken away. So Krishna's absolute point in Bhagavad Gita as to what are real problems, people are not getting that. They say, when you want to know what are real problems, because people think the economy is a problem, this government is a problem, you know, this is, you know, they take so many things to be problem, but so when you want to know what is real problem, nobody wants it, to everybody gets it, and nobody can avoid it. That's a real problem. Janma mrityu jara vyadi. That nobody. So Krishna says, dukha dosh anudarshanam. You just have to, you know, become awakened. You have to wake up, as the Vedas say, utishta jagrata prapya vardhan nibodhata. Please wake up. Try to understand the bone you have, this human form. To use a human form for these things is not good. So how do we see this? Prabhupada says material opulence is a kind of fever. And the Lord makes arrangement to diminish this fever gradually. Mundane people misunderstand this. Srila Prabhupada said, what is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the material sense is taken by devotees to be the mercy of the Lord. This is when Narad Muni, his mother passed away. He was a little boy, 4 or 5 years old. His mother died and he said, I took this as the special mercy of the Lord who desires the best for his devotees. And so thinking, I headed for the north. He headed for perfection to pursue the absolute truth. So Prabhupada said, confidential devotees of the Lord, they see at every step the Lord's benedictory direction. Whatever happens, they see it as, if we have nice facility, then we're grateful. Oh, Krishna has given me so much that I should just utilize my time, my energy in his service. But even if I have to face difficult circumstances, difficulty, well, everything will be taken away. I'll have to leave anyway. So I might as well make the best use of a bad bargain. Whatever opportunity I have, I should utilize it to become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada also, he told the story, Punar Musika Bhava. In other words, Krishna gave us so much opulence. We have so much. The world, people are very proud that we have so much. Not a bad thing to have, you know, nice technology, this, that. That's all right. But the point is that we have to utilize it to perfect our life, utilize it in Krishna consciousness. So if we don't, and we just become proud of these things and we say there is no God, there's no one in control, we'll figure out everything, we'll take control, then Krishna will take away everything. Punar Musika Bhava. You become mouse again. So, Srila Prabhupada, he came and he gave this process that to the degree devotees desire the welfare of the general mass of people, we should, as individuals, we have to be making some little effort. We have to be praying. Because the general mass of people, they entangle in the complicated meshes. It's like they do something to be happy, but that very thing they do bring about their bondage and their further suffering. They don't know what is good for them. So devotees, if devotees intensely desire the welfare of people in general, and we do something towards that, Krishna reciprocates with the desires of his devotees. And we have the example of Srila Prabhupada. One person making a sincere effort, praying to Krishna on board the Jaladuta. And Krishna blessing his desire. And so many people around the world has benefited. So that was Srila Prabhupada's intention, his desire for us, that all my followers, they should distribute my books, or they should do such and such. Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us. And this is Krishna's instruction. Krishna's instruction is that pranair artair dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. It is the duty of every human being to act for the welfare of all society with prana, or very life, artha, or will, dhya, or intelligence, vacha, or words, whatever we have at our disposal. We should utilize it for performing welfare work for the benefit of society. For ourselves as individuals, we need not worry. Srila Prabhupada said, devotees engage in purifying their heart, they need not worry about their maintenance. That Krishna takes care of. So we should be careful also that we don't think, well, I'm living in the UK, what's wrong with me enjoying some opulence? No. That's the worst thing we can do, to utilize Krishna's service for our sense gratification. That's the worst thing we can do. It's cheating. Sometimes we think, when we speak about the four defects of a human being, when we speak about cheating, oh, that's those scientists, those guys are cheaters. No. If I use Krishna's service, and we do that tendency, we've come to this world to be God away from God. So how we do that? We try to convince everyone, I'm way better than I am. And if we're devotees, then we try to convince other devotees, I'm very, very learned. I'm very, very pure devotee. I'm very, very advanced devotee. And we get busy in our life trying to project to others, or trying to project how others should see us, rather than come for real and acknowledge where we are and what we should do about it. So Srila Prabhupada said humility means to be aware of our shortcomings. When we could be for real and see, look, after so many years I don't have a taste for the holy name. I'm still full of all these material. When we come to that point of being for real, then we'll genuinely start to progress. But if we're just so busy trying to give a good impression, I'm a great devotee, I'm this, I'm that, then it's unfortunate that we'll fool our own self. So we get affected by material opulence in that way. We may have desires, even though we may say, Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, but I won't mind if you give me a little something on the side. We edit our version of the Shikshastaka. I have no desire to accumulate wealth, but if you send some my way, I won't mind. I'll be grateful. After all these years I've been serving you, so I think it's time you acknowledge that. Give me some. No. We should be contented with just having service. Just having the great opportunity to just serve. I'll stop here. Any questions, any comments, any points for discussion?